Hi, Richard Feidler here. Thanks for downloading this Conversations podcast. There are many, many more at abc.net.au/conversations.
Conversations with Richard Feidler on ABC Local Radio.
My next guest is an actor from a country where a play is a dangerous thing. Her name is Natalia Kolyada, and she's one of the founders of the world-renowned Belarus Free Theatre. This is a theatre company famous for the intensity of their productions, and there's no doubt that intensity comes in part from the knowledge that any of them could be arrested or murdered for what they do. Natalia Kolyada is from Belarus, a nation wedged between Russia and Poland. It used to be part of the old Soviet Union, but some aspects of life haven't changed from that time. It's sometimes called the last dictatorship in Europe. Its leader, President Alexander Lukashenko, is a crude, old-school Soviet-style dictator who rigs elections and enforces his rule with the secret police. What keeps Natalia's group safe, it seems, is their openness in a closed society and the support they get from high-profile international actors like Ian McKellen, Jude Law and Sienna Miller. Belarus Free Theatre came to Australia in 2009, and that's when I spoke with Natalia Kolyada.
You're a theatre group. You have no actual theatre, though, do you?
No, we don't. We perform only underground, in any place we find.
And what can that place be? What places can you find?
It could be an apartment, it could be a private house, even in the woods.
Even in the woods. How do you let the audience know where you're performing?
This is the most easiest process that you could find in a theatre community in the world. So you first need to find a phone number of our manager, then call her, leave your name, leave your mobile phone number. She will call you back when we find the facility, tell you a meeting point, and only from a meeting point you will be taken to a place where we perform.
It's a bit like what they used to have in rave culture in the United Kingdom. You know, the rave would be held, you wouldn't know the venue, but you'd be told at the last minute and you'd all show up there. So what risks are you taking, you and your fellow actors taking, in putting on this production in Belarus?
I believe that Belarus Free Theatre, this is an example or model of different types of repression that exist in Belarus. And it's range from losing your job, losing your education. You could be detained, arrested, go to jail, beaten up.
You know this can happen to you.
All of it happened to us.
And you do it anyway.
We do it anyway.
Why?
There is no another way for us to live there. It's not possible just to stay and observe what's happening in the country. When, for example, yesterday you had a nice chat with your very close friend, and you were talking about his wonderful family, his perspectives, and next morning you get to know that he's kidnapped and killed. So it happened to our friend. He was kidnapped and killed on July 7th of 1999.
How did he disappear?
He was going to the airport to meet another friend, another journalist who was working for the Russian TV. And on the way to the airport, he was kidnapped and killed.
How do you know? How do you know what
happened
to him?
The car was found out near the airport. He was not in a car. And then his blood was found in the trunk of a car. The body was never found.
You don't know where it is today?
No, and we don't know about another friend who was a businessman, and he was kidnapped with the vice speaker of the last democratically elected parliament. And he was the husband of our very close friend, who is the godmother of our younger daughter.
And he's disappeared too?
Yeah.
The president of Belarus is a man called Alexander Lukashenko. He's an interesting man. What can you tell me about him and the kind of government he runs? Is it pretty much like the old days? Is it like the Soviet Union all over again?
I'm not sure that he is interesting man, but he is a former chairman of Collective Farm, people compare his political regime with what Putin does. The only difference is that Lukashenko is a Collective Farm chairman and Putin is a former KGB officer. So I believe that's why we have a little bit different situation. In Belarus, everyone knows that we have a dictatorship. In Russia, everyone thinks that they have a democracy. So it's a pretty interesting perspectives how it's developed and it started from the background of rulers of the country. It's as for Belarus, it's a mutation of Soviet Union. It was absolutely clear ideological position in the Soviet Union. It was communism. It was very obvious and clear. Now nobody understands what this. It's just love me, I'm the only one.
So it's Lukashenkoism, in
absolutely,
other words.
Yeah.
How did your theatre group then get started?
It started when my husband and me, we checked different types of activities in our country. And after he got arrested and sat in jail, we decided that probably we need to try to find another ways of changing situation in our country and changing our lives and lives of our children. After he lost his three newspapers, he was a very famous journalist in our country. They were independent newspapers. For today, we don't have any independent media. Then the only gallery of contemporary art that he had in Belarus was closed down. Then he became political advisor. And when you don't have any possibility to express yourself and try to explain to your co-citizens what's happening in the country, he started to write plays.
So theatre was all that was left, in other words?
Yes.
For free expression?
Yes.
You can't be a journalist, it's too dangerous. You can't make movies, of course. So theatre is the obvious thing that remains.
Theatre and music.
Theatre and music. When you perform theatre, it's even though you're doing it in private, it's still a public thing. It's an open thing in many ways. Is that why you're here now talking to me? Why aren't you buried somewhere, Natalia?
I don't know. It's we understand that theater, we understand that public space in Belarus exists only underground. This is, I believe, it's not possible to explain to all the listeners of this show, but the only place where you could get free thoughts and what you want to hear and what is happening in reality, it's only underground, when it's prohibited by the authorities, but only underground people could express what they think.
What's life like then for you and your husband, Natalia, given that you could be arrested at any time, given your friends, you've lost friends? Are you when you're in Belarus, are you in a constant state of anxiety?
The only feeling that we have there that life is stopped. This is it. There are no other feelings that we have in Belarus. You just have four walls around you, and this is it. You cannot move. You cannot do what you want to do. And it was a very great discussion with Tom Stoppard when he came to us to Minsk. He said, it's very interesting feeling that from a city, from Minsk, this is the capital of Belarus, he said, looks like everything is prepared for making a movie, but the actors didn't come up to the stage yet. So it's empty. There is no life there. People are not killed in the streets. They are killed in the woods when they are kidnapped. And that's why I believe we still have this dictatorship, because many people in European Union, they say that we could organize sanctions and it could come into power when people will be killed in the streets. I believe it's already enough to have kidnappings and murders.
My guest at the moment is Natalia Kolyada. She's co-founder of Belarus Free Theatre, based in Belarus, the former Soviet nation that is in between Russia and Poland, that when they perform in their native country, they put their lives at risk all the time. Natalia, I suppose one thing I've been emphasising to begin with is what you do is dangerous work, but it's also brilliant work. People are highly praising your work. You mentioned Tom Stoppard there, who came to see you perform in Minsk and came back very excited and eloquent, speaking out about what you do. Harold Pinter, of course, your play Being Harold Pinter gets many fragments of his plays. Did you know him, the late Harold Pinter?
Yes, we had an honor to meet him, and it was May of 2007. We received invitation to perform Being Harold Pinter performance in Leeds University. Leeds University awarded an honorable degree to Harold Pinter for his 50-year work for the theater. And we came to show this performance there, and we met him at post-performance discussion. He didn't see that performance at the first meeting. He saw it last February in London. And we had a very interesting discussion with Harold Pinter. One of them was when we were sharing the same experience from Belarus as we do it now with you. He said, but you know, we have a dictatorship in the UK too.
Dictatorship?
And we were shocked. But Harold Pinter, he was always on the side of people, not power.
I don't know if Gordon Brown's as bad as Alexander Lukashenko.
And it was Tony Blair.
Tony Blair at the time.
Mm. Yeah, and nobody really liked Tony Blair at the time. So it was a very interesting discussion on it. And the only thing that we found to say that if there is a such dictatorship like in Belarus, his place will never be produced in the UK. And nobody will pronounce his name loudly and openly if he lives in such the situation like we live in Belarus. Because the names of playwrights in Belarus, they are prohibited. And then it was continued with Mark Ravenhill article last February, when he wrote in his article about this conversation of us and Harold Pinter, and Tom Stoppard called to Harold Pinter, and he said, and Harold Pinter asked to Tom Stoppard that, did I say this stuff to them, that we have a dictator in our country? I believe I didn't feel very good at that time.
One of your great defenders is a man who's my hero, I have to say, Václav Havel, who is the former president of the Czech Republic, a man who was a dissident under the old communist regime in Czechoslovakia, as it was then, and a playwright himself, whose plays were performed outside of Prague and eventually inside of Prague. He's a defender of yours as well. What advice has he given you, Natalia?
He gives us many advices how to protect our lives, but I believe the main advice for us that we need to speak very openly and loudly. He said to us that this is the only chance to stop dictatorship. Otherwise, if you keep silent, it means it will just prolong the situation. And it's already for 15 years we live under dictatorship. It's already too much for us. So we understand that we need to talk very openly and loudly.
The thing he always said is the importance of speaking the truth to power, telling the truth all the time.
Yes.
You take that to heart.
Yes, and this is the same thing that Harold Pinter told to us, that truth and false, it's possible to play with these two words when you are an artist. It's not possible to play with these two words when you are a citizen.
Give me a sense of your family background, Natalia. You come from a close family. A theatre family?
Yeah, it's theatre family. It's theatre family, and I'm very happy that my father, he was a vice president of Academy of Arts, and he started to be vice president when it was a Soviet Union. I wanted to enter the same academy, but based on the Soviet Union laws, rules, a child can't enter the same university if your father or mother is...
Oh, that would be seen as corruption.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So
happily, you couldn't be an actor. You couldn't be an actor then.
Happily, I avoided artistic destiny, and I graduated from history department and American College on Business. So I believe it's more interesting.
Your father didn't like the Communist Party, but he had to join the Communist Party and the Soviet Union. Why did he have to do that, Natalia?
He joined the Communist Party based on one thing. My brother should be sent to Afghanistan. It was Afghanistan war with Soviet Union. And the only possibility to avoid it is for my father to become a member of Communist Party. And my brother stayed in Belarus, and he served in the army in Belarus.
You're very close with your brother, aren't you? Tell me about him.
Yeah. He is, I believe it's one of the best thing in my life. He lives in the USA now. He received a political asylum there. He was a businessman who was supported, who supported opposition. And he got a phone call at the right time in order to escape the country, because we have about 15% of all prisoners are businessmen, because the authorities are afraid of people who support, who could give money for opposition. So he did everything for me. From my childhood, he was taking care of me. He was bringing a lot of presents to me.
Presents?
Yeah, from all over the world, and everything that I want to. And he paid for my education, what is very important. And he's brilliant, the best one.
So you couldn't be an actress. You went to a business school after the Soviet Union collapsed. Do you remember the Soviet Union? What do you remember of that, of the collapse in 1991 of the Soviet Union? Did you know what was going on?
Of course I knew, because the only place in our lives where people could talk freely were kitchen. And people will gather in the kitchen and they will start to talk to each other about what is going on in the country. And when all the leaders of the Soviet Union started to die one by one, it was a hope that situation could be changed very soon. And the first one who died, it was Leonid Brezhnev. And I got to know about his death when I was in the first form. And our teacher came to us and she was crying and she said, "Brezhnev died, dear children." All children didn't understand the point why she was crying. I got back home and my parents and my grandparents, they were so happily discussing that finally Brezhnev died and maybe there is a hope for changes. And then step by step, year by year, it started to come to the point of the collapse of the Soviet Union. And what is interesting that the agreement on collapse of the Soviet Union was signed in Belaversky Forest, that is located in Belarus. So it's a historical place for the whole world.
So there was a period there after the Soviet Union collapsed. Belarus was a nation of its own, and
yes,
still is today.
Yeah.
You had free speech for a while, and things were pretty chaotic. Was it this time that you became someone working at a rocket site? Tell me about how you became someone working at a rocket site, Natalia. How does that happen? Long way from being an actress.
Oh, my God. In 1991 to 1994, we had this golden age of Belarus when people started to feel that freedom is coming and business is blooming and culture is growing. So it was a just wonderful time. And the cooperative threat reduction program came into power. This is non-Luger program organized by American congressmen on reduction of nuclear weapons. We had a lot of rocket places in sites, sites in Belarus. And land was contaminated by rocket fuel, and it should be cleaned.
And what was your job?
We were going to these locations and bringing this equipment to organize this purification of land and to connect all the custom houses of Belarus with the main custom house in Minsk. It was land-to-land program.
It sounds incredibly strange. You must have seen very strange things doing that. Families affected by the contamination. And
It was pretty scary at that time because we started to travel in contaminated zones that were contaminated by rocket fuel and by Chernobyl at the same time. So there were a few programs going on at the same time.
And how old were you?
I was 19, 20.
Were there other women on the job, or was you the only one?
I was the only one, and my picture was in Pentagon, and they called me Big Drill.
Natalia Kolyada, or otherwise known as Big Drill, file in the Pentagon, is my guest at the moment, the co-founder of the incredibly brave Belarus Free Theatre. So from there, you got a job as a journalist, which is a very dangerous job in Belarus. It was becoming more dangerous.
Yeah, the journalism was a very interesting part of my life. I was making mostly political articles and monitoring on human rights violations and portraits of famous Belarusian people who fight with dictatorship. And once I got arrested right in the streets during the street action against enforced disappearances in Minsk. And the next day, police came to my apartment. My daughter was 5 years old that time, and she came and opened the door. And she said, when she saw police, she said, "Did you come to arrest my mom?" I believe it was the most scary feeling in my life when such a small kid already knows that such a situation exists in our lives.
So from there you found the Belarus Free Theatre, and you've actually been arrested on stage.
Yes.
Tell me what happened.
When I tell you, it sounds funny. It was not so funny when it's happened. We performed in a private house. My husband, he presented the French director who produced the performance with us, and he said, "I wish you a pleasant stay." He took his seat in a theater classical pose. Two men in civilian clothes entered the room, and they said, "Why is the floor black, and why it's so silent here?" Everyone in the audience thought that this is the beginning of the performance, because they continued with the phrase, "Please switch off your mobile phones, do not use cameras." And our audience used to our performances, so they thought that this is the beginning of the performance. But when my husband stood up and he said, "Do we recognize them?" And I saw KGB guys who usually arrest people in the streets during the big political actions. So at that time, all of us left the private house, went to the garden, and we saw a KGB special division of police with in helmets and ribbon sticks and district police, and they took us to police department. So they arrested all of us together with all spectators, with foreign citizens, including small children from 5 to 9 years and pregnant women.
Performers and the audience, and how long were you detained for?
We've been detained till the morning, and they released us, but the next day it's continued because we really wanted to show our performances, and we rented house 50 kilometers from Minsk, but police said that the road is mined.
Mined, yes.
Mined. So they didn't allow people to go there, and they allowed only diplomats to go to this house. It was very funny for us because my husband asked police, so it means that diplomats could be exploded.
Natalia, it's been fascinating speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast of Conversations with Richard Feidler. For more information and interviews, visit abc.net.au/conversations.